All right. Welcome to episode 5 of Small Screen Couch Commentary. Avatar The Last Airbender.
Netflix edition.
Beat me to it.
I did.
It worked out, though. I pointed while you said it.
You know, great minds.
Avatar The Last Airbender. Netflix edition. All right, God. Now we're good. Yeah, now we're good. All right. Anyway, this is episode 5, which is wild. We're flying through these things.
Yeah. I don't want to be premature in this.
Uh-oh.
I think this was my favorite episode.
Really?
I'm not going to lie.
I didn't dislike this episode, but I didn't like it as much as episode 4.
I liked this one a lot.
Oh.
I think what happened was very mature. I think, if anything, once again, this is reinforcing why I don't think this is a show for children.
Dude, not only just like violent, but when you see the face stealing.
We'll get into that.
Creepy. Like, yes. My son came down one time. The first time I watched this episode, my son came down the steps, and I'm watching it on my big-ass TV I have.
Yeah. Would you have like an 80-inch TV or something?
70-inch TV. Okay. I won. Got it for free by a raffle. It's really cool. But, yeah, I paused it right as like it turned away from the face for a second, and I was just like, yeah, I'll wait for you to go back upstairs.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll get to that. That is an important part of the story.
For sure. For sure.
But, yeah. What was your rating? Oh, sorry. Hold on. Rewind. Food comes first.
Always.
What were you snacking on?
So for this episode, I was feasting on.
Oh, feasting.
I shouldn't even say because it's not feasting.
Yeah.
I was getting down on a milkshake.
Ooh, yummy.
Yeah.
Chocolate, vanilla.
Chocolate.
Okay. Yeah. This time of the year, there is the special green milkshake out.
Shamrock shakes at Mickey D's.
I know if we're allowed to say it or not. I'm assuming.
Yeah. I don't know.
Beep.
But yeah, skin down on a milkshake. Yourself?
Nice. Not goldfish. The cheese turtles.
Golden turtles.
Golden turtles. Yo,
shout out Aldi. My son loves golden turtles.
Are great. And that's the best thing about having kids is you get to eat their snacks.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had golden turtles. So I had a bowl of golden turtles and nice. Water.
Nice.
Because turtles live in water. So I was like, be at home, friends.
Hey, yeah. In my stomach.
In my tum-tum.
So what was your rating then?
7.5.
Wow. Okay. A little lower.
Yeah.
I actually went 8.3.
Wow.
Yeah. I really liked this one. There were a couple weak points, I will admit. It wasn't perfect by any means.
Yeah.
But I think this was my favorite episode so far. I think each episode I watch, I'm getting further away from whatever perception I had in my mind coming into the show and lowering my expectation of it has to be, you know, this incarnation of XYZ.
Yeah. You're letting it be its own show.
I am. And I don't know exactly where they're going to end this season. I mean, I have an idea, obviously, but I am kind of anticipating what these last 3 episodes are going to be like, because I don't want this to be something where it's like, okay, my level of liking the show is rising as the season goes on, and I really am afraid I'm going to be let down in the end.
It's going to fall
off. Don't tell me anything, but yeah, I'm hoping I'm not disappointed by however the season ends. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. No, I think it was a good episode. I enjoyed it. Again, there's just some things that really pull me out of the episode sometimes. So,
I mean, from your perspective, I can understand where you're coming from. You're not as pleased with some of the dialogues, with some of the acting. I get that. I'm giving it grace, which is weird for me because truthfully,
opposite, I feel like.
I'm really
from like each other. Usually I'm
I'm really more so a harsh critic on things. And I don't know why I'm softening my critiques
your critiques
of this show. I don't know. Normally I'm pretty maybe it's just I'm getting old. And I'm less cynical?
Maybe. Which I don't know. Yeah, I thought you get more cynical as you get older.
Maybe.
That's good. You're going the other way. It should go the other way.
It should.
You should be less cynical.
I shouldn't be the you're on my lawn type guy.
I 100% am going to be that.
I know I am.
Get the hell off my lawn.
Yeah.
yeah, so we open up. I believe, if I'm wrong, we're on Appa again.
Yes. Well, no.
Oh.
No.
Correct me then.
So, aren't they Aren't they running away from the soldiers?
Fire Nation? I think they are. They're running away to get to Appa.
Right. So Team Avatar is in the forest. They are being chased by some Fire Nation soldiers. And they're throwing some fireballs at them. They're, you know, getting away, whatever.
Oh, yeah. And then you're actually going to see how strong Katara's gotten here.
Yes. She has gotten much stronger. Her water bending is really good. I think she even does a little bit of turning it into ice as well.
Yeah, again, yeah.
You know, so they're getting away from these soldiers. They get to, like, a dead end of a cliff. And they're kind of just like, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. And then they jump off.
It's like the Eagles and the Hobbit.
Yes, very much so. And the Fire Nation soldiers that are chasing them, they're just like, whoa, where'd they go?
They're dead.
Yeah, and then you just see Appa rise up, and they're hiding. They're riding Appa off into the sunset.
Appa, there to save the day.
Yeah.
Per the
I wish we had more Appa than we are getting. I mentioned that early on.
Yeah, so...
that's probably...
It's a weird critique, but I'm also with you on that.
Yeah.
Appa is an important part of the team. Let's not forget.
Appa and Momo are fully on Team Avatar. It is five members on Team Avatar.
100%.
Yeah.
I want us to have attachment to Appa because they can't skip a storyline next season.
Man, if they... I don't know what I'm going to do about that situation.
Yeah. And then there's another episode... with Appa. There's two episodes in season two of the anime show that are very important. And it's Appa.
Yeah.
But you need to have some attachment to Appa because he is there and they talk to him. They always pet him and he makes a funny noise, stuff like that.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
As they're riding away.
Yeah.
They are, you can see the forest and whatever.
Beautiful forest.
Yeah. But then they get to a portion of it where.
It's not so beautiful.
Yeah. It's just burnt to a crisp for as far as you can see, it's just the entire forest has burnt down, and they're kind of just like, whoa, like, what happened here? And I mean, obviously, we know the Fire Nation attacked that area, burnt everything down, but Aang, again, is kind of just realizing, like, this is happening because of me.
Yeah.
You know,
he's also very, like, attuned to the world because he is the Avatar, and spiritually, and just to nature, so he's pissed off that all these... these trees have been burned down. Like that just really makes him mad.
Yeah, yeah. They're obviously, again here they've helped out the people in Omashu. They've helped out the people at Kyoshi, and so they're still, kind of in earthbending territory there.
Yeah.
But this is a part of the earthbending territory that has been hit the hardest by the Fire Nation.
Yeah. So they land to check it out and see what's going on down there. Obviously, they find out, the Fire Nation. But while they're kind of walking around looking at stuff, Sokka walks out on his own, sees this little girl. Or he picks up a doll.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And sorry. He sees the little girl.
Right.
And he kind of says to her, he tries to be nice and calm and make sure she's okay because obviously she's lost in the woods somewhere.
Yeah. And she's just not really saying anything.
She's scared.
Yeah.
Out of her mind.
Well, because she probably has just seen her whole, forest be burnt to a crisp here.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know these people.
Yeah. Plus,
she doesn't know if they're good people or bad people. I've never seen waterbenders
before, so these outfits look different. So
right.
They're weird. And he says stuff he makes jokes and it's cute, but he also says rhymes with Waka Waka. And I was like, snuck in a reference there. Waka Waka.
Yeah, I thought that. Or also a little Shakira action, if you will. I don't know.
Waka Flocka Flame.
Maybe.
A lot of references there. Look at
Could
that.
Could be.
But the girl gets scared from something. I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember if it was, I'm not quite sure. I'm not exactly sure what it was either.
Yeah. But as they get scared, whatever scares her, she drops a doll, runs away, and he picks up the doll because he kind of wants to return it to her and make sure she's okay.
But yeah, she runs off and Aang and Katara come over. And so they start to chase her to try and get the doll back to her. she leads them.
And to make sure she's okay.
Right, right.
Doll's not number one priority.
Yeah. And she leads them to their, like, the village that she lives at. And she's running, like, towards this little house. And this guy comes out. He's like, where have you been? You know, I didn't want you, you know, going out there on your own.
Yeah.
And Team Avatar rolls up and he, like, puts her behind him. And, you know, he's obviously very defensive as well.
Rightfully so. And but Sokka's like, hey, she dropped this. I just wanted to give it back.
Right.
And they kind of explain the situation then. Like, hey, this has been attacked by the Fire Nation. I believe, like, they didn't burn it down just to burn it. Like, they used it for their machines or something. I feel like it was mentioned. I could be wrong.
I think they did say something, but, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
they burnt it, and now people, what was once a beautiful land and inhabited by people and animals, is gone.
Yeah. And they mentioned that villagers, even the little sister lost an older brother. Those are going out into the woods because they hear noises or checking on something, and they're disappearing.
Right.
And Aang comes to the conclusion the spirit of the woods is upset. So he's now like, okay, well, what can I do? I am like the connection between our realm and the spirit world. Maybe I can help.
Yeah. So, you know, he's now saying, okay, well, I've got to make another stop here because I need to help these people as well. Like, I'm going to get to the Northern Water Temple, but, you know, I think the theme here is that he is understanding or trying to cope with his guilt for not having been there all this time to help all these people.
Yeah, and he's doing his role as the Avatar.
Right.
You know, that is his role, is to help people.
When
and create balance.
You know, each stop along the way on this journey, he is also learning a little bit more about himself, about Team Avatar, but he's also building his skills. I mean, you gotta remember, even though Aang was a master at airbending, he's probably a little rusty after having been encapsulated for a century.
100%. Yeah. And also,
so he's getting some good practice.
Always room for growth, you know?
Very true.
So he's doing all this stuff and getting stronger. Weird thing, though, he hasn't done any water bending in this show yet.
No, he hasn't.
Even when Katara, like, invites him to do it, he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
In a previous episode. So it's a little weird. Like, this is like the book where you're supposed to be learning water bending, and you haven't. But that's okay.
Well, I have a theory as to...
I have a theory as well.
Do we want to just get into that right now?
Let's converse about it.
All right. So my theory as to why Aang hasn't done any water bending at all is because... he's had his meeting with Kyoshi, mm-hmm. right? And he communed with her. That's the word I was looking for, by the way.
Communed
with Kyoshi.
Oh, sounds like a nice song or a band name.
And, you know, that kind of unlocked something in him. Right?
Oh, yeah?
That's just my theory. It's my theory.
Unlocked what?
Some chakras?
Or maybe block some chakras?
Maybe. I don't know. But I'm thinking, you know, when he gets to the Northern Water Temple, I'm thinking he's going to commune with another avatar there that then helps him, you know, become a master of waterbending.
Oh, you think so?
That's what I'm thinking because, and I don't know, like, there's not a whole lot left here. We've only got 3 episodes. And if by the end of book 1 in the animated show, like, he had waterbending down, you know, and then the next book he's supposed to be getting the next element, and then the next book he's trying to get the next element.
Yeah, well, so he really didn't have waterbending down at the end of book 1.
Not down, but he learned it. Learning it. Like, he wasn't a master.
No.
Like, he didn't really master any of the bending
in the show
until the very, very end.
Yeah.
But at the very least, he could do them if he needed to. You know?
Yeah, and I think what we're going to get here, in my theory, is just because how the show's going to work is you're not going to see him learn waterbending during the water book. You're going to see him keep training his waterbending in Earth. And then when they get to the third book for Fire, he's going to keep working on his earthbending throughout Fire. Like, he'll learn it in between seasons. He'll have learned it.
Okay,
but
I can see that.
He's going to keep perfecting it in the next season.
Yeah.
That's what I would assume. There's no like real like deeper lore story into that. It's just how the show's going to make it work.
But moving right along.
Moving right along. They go back out to the woods and they're like, we got to figure out how Aang needs to figure out how to commune with the spirits of the forest.
Yeah. Well, and he like, you know, they're kind of wandering
around. Word of the day is commune, I guess.
I guess so. they're wandering around and Aang, you know, lets them know that, excuse me. A little tickle in my throat. He lets them know that, you know, he can communicate with the spirit world, being the Avatar and whatever, and that he's looking for an area where he'll be able to have a stronger connection.
Right. There is
the
a
spirit world.
There's somewhere nearby that must be a almost like a weak wall.
Yeah,
between
the, like
them
the veil between the spirit world and our world is going to be weaker in this area, and that's where he will then try to. You know, have his meditation to then visit, you know, in or figure out what's going on with the spirit world there.
Yep. So they do find a spot. There's a, like a totem almost, and it's of the spirit.
Of the forest.
Of the forest.
Yeah.
Spirit of the forest. And it actually has scratches along its eyes too in the on the totem.
Right.
So he gets into his like little avatar meditation, you know, fist connecting, you know, cross-legged style.
Well, and like it's funny because, you know, he's sitting on this rock and he's starting to meditate and Sokka and Katara are behind him.
He's having a conversation.
And, well, like, yeah, she's like, you know, he's like, well, what are we just supposed to sit here and whatever? She's like, yeah, because when he goes into the avatar state or when he goes into his meditative state, you know, his body is vulnerable and, you know, they're just kind of talking back and forth, whatever. And then Aang is just like, do you mind?
Yeah.
I'm trying to concentrate. So, yeah, they kind of do just like a quick little, you know, montage type thing of Aang just there on this rock meditating as the hours go by and Katara's practicing her waterbending and Sokka's like twirling around his boomerang and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And eventually they get to the point there where
he does.
Yeah. He gets finally meditates and he's aligned and they see this like astral projection of Aang
leave his body.
Right And they're like, oh my gosh, it worked.
Right. But when as a viewer you're like, that didn't happen last time.
Right. So this isn't, he's not in the avatar state here.
No, but when he went to go commune with Kyoshi, he wasn't in the avatar state. He just went to go talk to her in the spirit world.
But I think this is a different type of thing.
I don't think so.
I don't know,
because here's what happened is they see him do that. Turns out
they're also in the spirit world.
Yeah, which is, that's why I think they see the astral projection, because they're also...
No, yeah. No, that's definitely why they see his astral projection. Yeah. But I'm just saying, he's not in this scene, he's not in the avatar state. Even when he went to see Kyoshi...
He wasn't
in the avatar state.
No. No, it's he's
a,
just...
A meditative,
he's just
spiritual...
He's walking through to the spirit world.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah, they all go to the spirit world, including Katara and Sokka, which was not the plan.
Right. They were supposed to be guarding his body as he's there.
Yeah.
And you see that their astral projections are there with him, but their physical bodies are kind of slumped over, leaning up against a rock, sleeping. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little, one, this is not how it goes down in the animated show. Big difference.
Yeah.
Just point it out, Alex. I'm not saying I hate it, not saying I love it.
I'm not saying
that. I'm just pointing it out. All right. But so they move on. They're going their little adventure. Like, well, we got to do this together now. We're going to help the spirit because you're stuck in here with us.
Right. Yeah. They can't get out. So they're trudging along with Avatar, with Aang.
With Aang.
Oh, no. How dare you?
How dare I? Yeah. I'm getting tired, folks. I made a mistake.
You did. But yeah, so they're going along with him. And as they journey through the forest here, then, they are walking and Aang starts to hear something.
Yeah.
And he's hearing a voice that starts talking to him. So he starts talking back. And Katara and Sokka are just like, who are you talking
to? Yeah.
And as Aang is talking with this
he's
voice.
He's like the giant owl right here.
Yeah. And they look up and Sokka's just like, whoa, that is a big birdie. And this birdie is like, I'm not a birdie. And, you know, they cut then to, I guess, Katara and Sokka's point of view, and it's just the owl going,
yeah,
you know, just bird speaking here.
But and the owl makes the point to Aang, like, their minds can't comprehend.
They're
too weak.
He says, like, well, can't you hear him or whatever? And the owl says, like, their minds are not able to comprehend what I'm saying, but you can because you're the Avatar.
Yeah. By the way, this owl has a name. Can't remember it right now. But it is an owl that you see in book 2 of the animated show. It's a very important owl.
Yeah.
But I'm curious if the voice actor, if it's not the same voice actor, very close to being spot on from the animated show.
We have to go look that up.
But I like this character. I hope that this doesn't mean we're not getting the owl later, because there's, again, very important episodes that come happen.
We shall see.
Do they mention that he's the librarian? Does he say that?
No.
No. Okay. Never mind. But this owl is kind of telling me, hey, they shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Katara and Sokka should not be in the spirit world. Their minds are too weak for it. Things are going to pretty much prey on their weakness. They're not safe.
Yeah. And Sokka's like, is this bird going to attack us? And he's like, no, he's not going to hurt us.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Aang actually tells them, like,
no, so
that Aang, they're in danger.
Aang mentions danger, and right. Sokka makes a funny joke, and Aang's like, no, we're fine as long as we stay on the path, because the path will lead to a hut somewhere that the owl tells him, like, somebody that can help you.
Yeah. By the way, the whole reason that they are taking this journey is because they're trying to find the missing people from, you know, the village.
Yeah. Right?
And so he tells the owl, like, we're just looking for our friends, and he says, there's someone at a hut at the end that might be able to tell you where your friends are. But the important thing here that I took from it, he lets Aang know that, you know, while you're here, not just Sokka and Katara, but all of them, they're going to be shown things that, you know, are you know, part of the things that are dark and make them weak and whatever.
And says, don't stray from, even Aang, don't stray from the path.
Right, right. So, yeah, they keep going along.
They go on their merry way down the yellow brick road.
Absolutely. But it doesn't go quite as they planned.
Now, big, like, freaking, it looks like the monster from,
it looks like a Demogorgon.
Demogorgon was a good one. I was thinking Cloverfield Lane, just.
Oh, yeah.
But with panda colors, you know?
Yeah. This monster starts, like, to chase them legs, through this forest.
Crazy whale mouth.
Yeah. And as, you know, they're getting chased, Aang notices that it has the same scratch as the totem in the real world.
Yeah.
And he realizes, okay, like, this is the spirit of the forest.
Yeah, you're in pain.
Yeah, and you're hurt. Like, and so he's like, I need to help him. But as it's chasing them, they kind of all get separated, and Aang even says, like, because he doesn't want them to get hurt, he says, like, everybody run. So they have to get split up here, and so
they go off the path.
Right now, the first path that we get taken to here,
yeah,
is Katara.
Yes.
And I really liked this part.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to ask you here, each of these, there's two that we'll talk about first. We're going to talk about Katara first, and then we'll talk about Sokka.
Sokka. Sokka is as
my
close
fault,
to...
My fault. Hey. My fault.
Brother.
What they were going through, do you think it was true to what actually happened in their worlds, and they're just remembering it? Or is this something that, you know, because of the spirit world, it was kind of just showing them a not so great memory, like a projection of something that was not so great? Do you think it's as it actually happened?
I think it was accurate. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I think it really was.
So Katara is kind of transported then. She's like, they show her running through the woods, but then I think she, like, falls or trips or something, and then she's back at her tribe.
Yeah.
And her mom is there, and she's just like, oh my gosh, are you really here? And she's like, yeah, I am. And she gives her a big hug, and she's kind of just happy. I don't even think that once she hugs her mom, I don't even think she questions things.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. It seems
she's
like
she's just like, okay, I'm here. I'm
back with mom.
Yeah. And of course, we get your favorite, good old Gran here.
Freaking Gran.
Honestly, I didn't mind her in this episode. She wasn't too bad. She wasn't in it too long, so
good. She creeps me out.
But you know, she's there, and she's just going with her mother and her grandmother, and you know, they're in their village, and at one point, they're doing some like some braiding and stuff, and Katara sees at one point a bucket of water. And she tries bending, and she realizes she can't.
Yeah.
And so she even says out loud, she's like, I can't bend. And her mom is just like, I know you can't.
One day.
Someday you will.
Yeah.
And so then we start to hear like a commotion, and we realize that what she's in is the events that led up to her tribe being attacked by the Fire Nation.
Yeah, it's the day of the attack.
Right.
Where her mother goes away.
Right. So, you know, everyone in the village is panicking. They're all running around. Her mom is, like, dragging her. And I think at this point you also then see, like, I don't remember how they did it, but they did it in a very, like, tasteful way. The entire time up to this point, it's Katara as she is
as
right
we know
now.
Her, yeah.
But then it kind of transitions, and we see that it's her as a little girl at that time.
Yep.
And the way they did it was pretty seamless and pretty smooth.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty impressive, yeah.
So from this point then on out, at in her journey, it's Katara as a little girl. And so she gets to one of the huts, and she's like, we got to get in here. We've got to get away. And Katara realizes from her memory then that this is where her mother dies.
Yeah, this is the moment.
Right. So she's like, no, I'm not going in there. She doesn't want to go in there, partly because she remembers what's happening, but then partly because I think she maybe thinks, oh, well, if I don't go in there, you don't ever die.
You don't die. Yep.
Right. Yep. But her mother picks her up anyway.
And they go inside this igloo.
Yeah. Hut. So she puts her in like a little corner, and she's like, stay in here. Stay safe. Don't come out.
And I think is she getting ready to leave the hut then?
She is.
And then as she does, a firebender soldier comes barging through.
Right. Now, he doesn't see Katara. She's tucked away, but he's interrogating her mom. She's like, we know you have a waterbender here. You know, give her up.
Yeah.
Or give them up.
Give them up, but when you do, then we'll leave.
Right. Yeah. Right. And she's just like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You took all the waterbenders.
Right. All the waterbenders are either gone or dead. And he's just like, I don't believe you. And he's trying to intimidate her. And Katara's in her little hidey hole there. And there's some water there again. And she's trying to bend. And she's concentrating really, really hard. And, you know, you start to see these water droplets start to rise up. And I think even at one point, like, the soldier notices.
But yeah, I think really. I think the mom kind of looks over at it. Maybe.
Yeah, the angle is kind of weird. It makes it seem as if the soldier realizes that the bending is happening, but then he doesn't really react to it either.
Yeah.
You know, Katara's trying to like little tiny Katara. She's there and she's struggling and she's you know concentrating so hard. She's got her hands extended, and like the water droplets, then they fall
right back into the bucket.
Yeah.
And does the bucket fall over?
No, it does not. It does not. But that's then when the fire soldier really realizes. So he starts looking around this igloo then, this little hut. And that's when the mom says,
it's me.
It's me. I'm
the problem.
Better.
It's me.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry. My bad. But yeah, she's like, I'm the waterbender. I'm the one you're looking for. Go ahead. And
well, no, she says that, but he doesn't believe her at first.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry. He's looking around, and right as he's getting to where Katara's hiding, that's when she says,
yeah,
I'm the waterbender. And then my man just...
Doesn't she say, take me, prisoner? And then he's like, we're not taking prisoners today.
I don't remember. I don't recall if he says that or not.
Maybe that was in the animated show.
Maybe.
I don't know. Either way.
Yeah, he...
She gone.
Yeah, he lights her whole body on fire. And then they cut to... I mean, they show you her on fire.
Mm-hmm.
They cut to Katara, and she's just hand over her mouth trying not to
scream. Yeah. Ooh, rough.
Yeah. It's like, I wouldn't want to see anyone burned alive. I definitely would not want to see my mom get
no. Alive. Yeah, and there's nothing you could do about it. Just sit there and hide.
Right. Yeah, you're powerless there.
Yeah.
So that's one branch of the story.
Of memories, yeah.
Then the next one we get is of Sokka.
Yeah.
And same thing. They cut back to him. He's running through the forest. He like falls in some mud, or he like doesn't fall in, but he like steps in some mud, and he's like, man, this is, you know, disgusting, whatever. But then he looks down and he's in snow. And again, he's also back with his tribe.
In the Southern Water Tribe.
Right.
At Wolf's Cove.
His head's in the water, and he comes up and he looks up, and I don't think he says it right at first, but he realizes then, okay, dad. And his dad is there, and he's got like a bunch of the other warriors from the tribe. And it's the day that he passed one of his trials.
Yeah.
And I'm saying passed in air quotes here.
Because we'll find out later.
Yeah.
Next time.
But he's like, oh, man, I'm remembering this now. And you know, his dad is there and he's proud of him. And, you know, he's telling him like, okay, you passed, like you're one of us now. And Sokka's just like feeling proud of himself. He's happy, one, because he passed, but then also because he's seeing his dad, you know, and this is the first time, you know, that.
Yeah. And even mentions like, oh yeah, but it was tough, but I had, what's his name there? I can.
Well, yeah. After that, Bato comes in.
Yeah.
And he's congratulating Sokka as well. And he's like, yeah, you know, it was pretty rough out there. And Sokka's like, oh yeah, I did lose control, but thanks to you, Bato, we made it.
Yeah, and they're like, well, that's part of the trial, is picking the right crew and blah, right, blah, making, right, Sokka leader, feel good about it.
Yeah, he's like, a leader will surround himself with the right people.
Yeah.
And he, you know, gives him this marking, and as Sokka's leaving out of the hut there, he's looking around, he sees the village, and he's kind of happy. But then a group of boys come by
and talk shit.
Yeah, they basically like tell him like,
"Hey,
oh,
we saw,
man,
your boat, man."
Yeah, he's like, "It's all messed up. I'm surprised, you know, if that's what it is, if you passed and that's how it is, I can't imagine what it would look like if you failed."
Yeah.
And that really like breaks him down a bit. But as that's happening, then he is walking off to the side and he notices his dad and Bato come out, and he kind of hides in the back. And his dad is kind of just like disappointed in him.
Yeah.
And he's saying like, you know, I really was hoping he was going to do better and he didn't.
Yeah. He's just not ready.
Just like, you know, it was tough out there. You know, he did the best he could and, you know, we helped him out. And his dad is basically like, look, if you didn't step in, we would have wrecked.
Yeah.
It would have, you know, been dangerous or whatever. And Sokka's hearing this and he's just getting real sad. And he essentially is, you know, just started off with this good memory.
Now he's heartbroken.
Passing and his father. And yeah, now he's just back down in the dumps.
Yeah.
And this is kind of, I think, in a way, like tearing down some of the progress he's made.
Yeah.
You know, along the way here.
100%.
Because even in like the, you know, first couple episodes there, Sokka's kind of, I don't want to say a bumbling idiot, but he's not the leader or the brave person that he like puts up the front to be, but each episode that goes by, he's building a little bit more.
Yeah.
And now this happens and he remembers this.
So now it's, confidence starts to go back down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the end of his path of this journey. And the funny thing, or I shouldn't say the funny thing is, but you know, as these things are happening, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, man, like, when they get to Aang, is Aang going to fall for this too?
Right. So they do get to Aang.
Right.
And he pretty much he's like making himself skinny to get through something.
Right.
And as he does it, it looks like now he's on a cliff and he sees over yonder the air temple where he grew up.
And I'm like, oh man, like Aang's going to get there.
Yo, what if he sees the freaking massacre?
So that's what I was thinking at first.
Yeah.
You know, because when the air temple was attacked, he was obviously away. So that's what I was thinking, because they all were going through, Katara and Sokka, they were going through the darkest parts of their memories.
Yeah.
And I thought the same thing at first, but then I thought, well, this can't happen because it's not a memory. He wasn't there. So it's not a memory that he has.
Yeah.
But thankfully,
he starts to walk towards it and he goes, wait,
this isn't real.
Yeah. And he turns the other direction.
Right. So he understands, okay, this is, you know, the spirit world tempting me.
It's also good to note at the end of each situation, the Katara and Sokka, they're looking one way and then they look another way and a freaking scary ass face appears on
screen.
Totally
forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
They look one way and there's like,
it was definitely like a jump scare, scary movie type thing.
Yeah. Both times. Even with Sokka, you knew it was coming. Still scared the crap
yes
out of me.
Yeah, I sat here and I'm like, I was like in the dark watching it.
Oh,
and I was just like, oh fuck.
Yeah, did not expect that.
Yeah,
at all. Oh man.
So yeah, Aang resists the temptation to give into whatever memory he was going to experience there. The other thing that I thought it might be was the memory of that they did a flashback of when he was in his class. Mm-hmm. And he was like too powerful and blew off some of the other, you know, people in the class there.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a bad memory because he also visited the Fire Nation as a kid too. Wouldn't mind a bad memory there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was he got that. Is this where he meets the spirit? Because he didn't fall for it.
I'm trying to think if that happened here. Yeah.
It was before he gets to the hut.
I think you're right.
Because the guy explains who he is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so the spirit who's doing this to all of them.
Who's tempting them and the scary face.
Do you remember
face.
His name?
Ko.
Ko. It's the faceless spirit.
Yeah, and they don't say it right then and there, but you find out later.
Yeah, creepy. It's like a centipede, big, big centipede that comes down and talks to Aang, and it changes its face inside. Well,
and the creepy thing is, like, when it changes faces, it's like coming out of the mouth of this centipede.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a few different faces that are there.
Which is creepy in the animated show, but this one is creepy. Like, even like a baboon face. Now, the story in the animated show is, when you're talking to Ko, you can't make any expressions or steal your face.
Right.
Here, it doesn't seem like that's said or is the
right.
thing that
it's
happens.
It's not implied directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the spirit's name is Ko, the face stealer.
Yeah.
But, you know, Aang is there and conversing with Ko, and he's just like, you know, trying to figure out why he's there and what he's doing, and he essentially tells him, like, hey, you know, this is what I do. I've got people captive here. And you even see then some of the people that the spirit has taken from the village. You see Sokka and Katara. And then I think he pretty much alludes to the fact that, like, he has them captive. And Aang's just like, I'm just trying to find my friends. And he's like, why would I let you play with my food?
Yeah.
And that's when Aang's just like, okay, I've got to
do something.
I've got to do something.
Yeah, because he's almost like a spider. He has them wrapped up and trapped, and he'll eat them later.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So as he's running out of there, Ko is just chilling. He doesn't even like really chase him or anything. But Aang gets out into a clearing, and you see this little hut like on a little hilltop. And you know what? It kind of reminded me of like the Shire almost a little
bit. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Which makes me happy. I'll take that any day.
Yeah. Yeah. Love me some Lord of the Rings. But he's walking up and he opens the door and he's looking around and he sees some familiar things. Did you pick up on what he saw on the little countertop?
No.
The necklace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he sees this necklace and it's a necklace we've seen before in the show. But then he looks over and he sees someone from his past, turns around and it's Gyatso.
Right. And he even asked him, is it really you?
Yeah. And honestly, I wasn't sure if it was going to really be Gyatso either, or if it was just another attempt to get Aang to give in.
Yeah.
And Gyatso says, no, it's me. Like I'm here. I was here to help you. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. And he basically says, I didn't go with the rest of the, airbenders. So
yes.
Like pretty much the great beyond, you know?
Yeah. The airbenders here, they're monks. I mean, they're monks in the show, the animated show too, but they obviously have this situation where, like, after they pass, I guess their spirits move on to this other realm. And Aang asks him, like, you know, why didn't you go? And he's like, I stayed because I knew I was meant to help you.
Yeah.
And it's funny because
even says what took so long.
Well, so Aang still kind of doesn't believe that it's him. And he goes over and says, hey, do you remember this? And it's some game that they played. Kind of almost looked like Othello a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's like, this, you know, the last game that we played, you know, why don't you sit down? And as Aang's looking down at the board, he like flips his hood over him and switches some of the pieces around. And he comes back and he looks down at the board and Aang just goes, you cheater. And that's like, gives him the sign that he knows it's really him.
Yeah.
He gives him a hug.
Yeah. Which is very cute. This, I love this scene.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Cause then they start to have a deeper conversation about what's going on. And he's like, well, I'm here to save my friends and all this stuff. And he explains to him that, Ko, the face stealer, he has him trapped. And the only person who ever bested him was Roku.
Yeah. I mean, well, and Ko, I forgot to mention, when Ko was talking with Avatar, he had mentioned that other incarnations of the Avatar had faced off against him and that one of them had taken something from him.
Yeah, he might have said, you've taken something from me.
Right, and Aang's just like...
Talking to his Avatar spirit, yeah.
Right, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, because obviously it was one of the other Avatars. But yeah. Gyatso lets him know, informs him that... You know, the only other Avatar who had bested Ko was Roku.
Yeah.
I think he pretty much says, either Ko says it or Gyatso says, but we find out that no one's really ever been able to, like, kill him or anything like that.
No.
But Roku bested him. How it happened?
Who knows?
We don't know.
But he took something from him.
Right, right. So Aang's just like, okay, well, you know, I've got to then find out what happened. And he says, you know, I spoke to Kyoshi when I was at her temple, and I was able to commune with her. I needed to go do the same thing and speak with Roku.
Yeah.
And Gyatso basically is like, well, I don't know how you're going to do that because...
It's in the Fire Nation.
Yeah, Roku's temple's in the Fire Nation. And Aang's just like, well, that means I just got to go there.
That's what I got to do.
Which I'm just like, okay, well, that's a tall order for you. But yeah, he, you know, just speaks with Gyatso a little bit more and, then he's like, all right, well, thank you. You know, I have to go because he has to go then because he has to save his friends.
Yeah. He's on a time constraint for sure. Cause he'll be eaten at some point.
Right.
And he asks Gyatso, can we talk more when I get back? Gyatso's like, yeah, sure. We can.
Yeah.
I'm down. The other thing I want to mention too is like, before you go, he's like, he had a conversation with him. Like, it was not your fault what happened at the air temple. And like, I think that's something Aang needed.
Absolutely.
He even says like, you would have been annihilated with us.
Yeah. I think Aang's been carrying, you know, a lot of guilt, the guilt from not being there for the last 100 years, the guilt of not having been there at the air temple when the attack happened. You know, because he, I guess, thinks that he could have made a difference. And while, maybe, yeah, he'd have been able to make a dent in things. I mean, they got swarmed. And he lets him know, like, hey, it's not your fault. You couldn't have done anything to have changed what happened. So, you know, please let it go.
Yeah.
I think he even says that to him, like, you have to let go of that whole situation.
Yep. Which is cool of him to say.
Yeah, you know. So as soon as he finishes that conversation, he comes back to his physical body, and Sokka and Katara are slumped over still on this rock, and he realizes, okay, I gotta get on my glider here and head over to the Fire Nation. But as he's leaving, Momo and Appa come out, and he's talking to them. He's like, or he's talking to Appa, and he's like, no, like, you can't come on this adventure with me. You know, it's too dangerous. You need to stay here.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's probably better that him and Momo stay in there because they can then hopefully protect
Katara and Sokka. Plus, Appa's pretty noticeable, so
yeah.
You can sneak in on a little flying glider. You probably can't sneak in on Appa.
Not on a giant sky bison.
No.
So yeah, then he gets on his glider. He starts flying away, and the episode, as this is happening, as he's flying away, you're getting some more like wise words from Gyatso.
Oh yeah, that was really good. I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. And the episode ends with Aang kind of just flying off towards the Fire Nation.
Yeah, and again, great episode.
I think this was my favorite. I think the development with Aang was good. Seeing the backstory of the darkest moments with Katara and with Sokka, I really liked that.
Builds the character. Yeah.
And the you know, the face eater or the face stealer was super creepy.
Yeah, they did a great job with that.
Yeah.
And Gyatso's conversation was great. There's a few other things to note that happen outside of the spirit realm, and these aren't things we go deep into.
Right.
But
there is one important one there.
Two things I'll bring up, and I'll see if I hit the important one or not. One, oh my God, why can't I remember her name? Azula.
Yes.
Does talk to Fire Lord Ozai, her dad, about, you know, hey, well, you know, you always say about watering the most promising seeds. We should probably help Commander Zhao out since he has found the Avatar. And maybe we should send some more troops his way or give him some stuff he's asking for.
Yeah, she basically says, like, look at what he's done with no help.
Yeah.
You know, imagine what he could do if we had given him some support.
Yeah. So he tells her, okay, go tell so-and-so we're going to switch some stuff around. We're going to send some help his way, blah, blah, blah. But then stops her and goes, hey, Azula, it wasn't Commander Zhao who found the Avatar. It was your brother, Zuko.
Right.
So, and he's just kind of like, I know what you're trying to pull here, but.
Yeah. He basically, in so many words, says to her, like, I know what you're doing. It's not becoming of someone like you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't really get it here. And maybe in the show at this point, we wouldn't have gotten it so much either. But, you know, Azula is very, very jealous of Zuko.
Well, you know, Zuko's heir to the brother. Throne.
He's heir to the throne. She wants that for herself, obviously. Yeah. So by, you know, doing this, she's trying to essentially take the reward of Zuko coming back into the kingdom away from him. Because she thinks, okay, well, if he doesn't get credit for this, or if I can thwart his efforts, I'll be next in line then.
Yep.
For the throne.
Exactly.
And
she's
when
got dark ideas.
Yeah, and when Ozai, like, tells her that, I don't think he was doing it for the benefit of Zuko.
No, I don't think so either.
I think he was doing that because he knew it was going to light a fire under her.
Yep.
And he even kind of gives a little bit of a smirk as she's walking away.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot that goes on, I think, that he keeps doing this. Like, he does it. He did it in the prior episode. Like, your brother did the impossible.
Right.
Like, just plants a little seed like, hey, I'm going to piss you off here and here and here.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, the firebenders...
anger is a great tool for
it's them. It's a big motivator. It helps them get their power.
Yeah.
So, you know, he definitely was not doing that because he was trying to let her know, like, hey, I'm actually proud of your brother. He was doing that because he knows
piss her off even more.
It's going to make her mad and make her a better firebender, a better, you know, war, you know, person or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that was the more important of the
two. There. Okay.
Because we haven't really gotten a whole lot of Azula.
We've gotten
a couple bits and pieces here.
Which we don't get her in the show until second season in that animated show. So it's cool to see her earlier on in the Capitol.
Now, one of the other scenes that happens as the episode is ending and Aang's flying off is they show Azula, and she's there with Ty Lee and Mei, and the two of them are like asleep on like a bench or something, and obviously it's nighttime, and they just show Azula, and she's just training hard.
Yeah,
like she's getting her firebending, she's doing some martial arts, and it's like,
so what Dad did worked.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, it's obviously she is trying to be motivated here and get to the point where it's like, okay, I'm going to be the next heir to the throne here. And really, at the end of the day, I like this way that they're portraying this story, because I think even though you don't get as much of the dynamic of her hating Zuko, what you do get is that they're both just looking for daddy's approval.
Yeah.
And they're just on different paths to get there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I like how they're doing this storyline as well.
Yeah.
And then the other thing real quick to add in is Iroh and Zuko, they do hire a bounty hunter named June. And she has this beast that she rides that has a big old snout. And it can pretty much smell anything out. So they're like, hey, we'll give you some money if you can find us this person, which is the Avatar.
Yeah.
Also, she hits on Uncle Iroh, and I'm like, get it, dog.
No.
She calls him cute.
Well, yes, but so she knows who they are, obviously. Everybody knows who Iroh and Zuko are. But like Zuko does not want her there.
No.
He's not
Zuko, that's not by the book. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's not.
And Iroh's like, "Well, this is where we're at. Sometimes you got to do the stuff where we're living and how we're."
Right. And he essentially says, like, you know, her job is to find people. If she can help us do that, like, it's all the better for us. And Zuko, like, says some, like, smart comment or whatever. And she's like, that's quite a comment coming from a little boy. I'll let it pass since your dad's, you know, good looking.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny.
Yeah. She's hitting on him, dude.
She's not hitting on Uncle Iroh. She says that about his dad. She's talking about Ozai.
No, she's talking about Uncle Iroh.
No. She's talking about Ozai. Yeah.
No, she's talking about Uncle Iroh.
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh. This guy.
How... if she says your dad, she but knows she who Zuko is.
No, she's talking about Uncle Iroh.
Everyone knows that Zuko's dad is Ozai.
Trust me. I even followed the girl on Instagram, okay? She mentioned calling Uncle Iroh cute, okay?
All right.
But, yeah, so they do that. And it is important to know, like, Uncle Iroh's kind of like, when in Rome, you know?
Right.
This is what we have to do. So she's off to go sniff out Aang. It also, this is happening in the animated show, right? They get to this village. They want to appease the spirit. But Ko's not in the animated show yet at this point.
Not at this point, yeah.
This point this, in the animated show, is just he goes and actually fights the spirit, brings it into the actual living
real
realm.
World, yeah.
And fights it there and calms it down. And then also what June brings in her beast and like attacks as well during this time. So... I like her as a character, so I'm kind of glad they brought her in. So, but we'll see where that goes.
We shall. But yeah, that's the end of this episode. I liked this episode the best so far, but it also, like I mentioned earlier, kind of leaves me wary for what's going to happen moving forward and whether or not, you know, the build up towards the last episode here is going to let me down or not. I have a feeling that it will, and maybe I'm just being a negative Nancy.
Yeah.
But
come on.
We'll see. We'll see.
Keep those hopes up. I like hopes up, Alex.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I usually am a more harsh critic, and maybe this is some of that harshness creeping in here. But I'm gonna hope and pray that you know, things continue to impress me and that I like the show moving forward till the end. And if anything, I don't want to say impressed. If I'm satisfied with how the rest of this season goes, then I will be hopeful for seasons 2 and 3.
I like the sound of it.
So that's that for this episode, but please let us know what you thought of this episode of the podcast. Let us know what you thought of this episode of the show, Avatar The Last Airbender, and keep an eye out or an ear out,
either one,
as we're on video and audio platforms.
See.
But just keep an eye out for more content. Also, don't forget to listen to our podcast of The Boys. That drops every Sunday with 2 new episodes every week. Or we try to make sure we get 2 new episodes out every week.
Yeah.
That's going to be going up through this summer where the season 4 of The Boys premieres. And pretty soon here, within the next few weeks, we are probably going to be getting a third show into the mix.
Yep.
I think we have some ideas of what that show might be. I'm not going to say anything quite yet. But also let us know what other shows you think we might want to watch. We have some shows that are kind of on our radar throughout the rest of this year. But we want to know what you're excited to watch.
We would like some input, yeah.
Because maybe a show that you're excited to watch is one that we're excited to watch too. Or maybe there's something that we don't know about that you could put us on to.
Surprise us.
So, yeah, like, comment, subscribe wherever you are, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and
Twitter.
We are now actually also on X.
Yeah, so, X, sorry.
Yeah, whatever platform you're on, we're probably there, and we want to interact with you. But that is all for this week, and we will see you guys. I'll see you later, or I'll see you on another time.
Okay, bye.
You don't remember that reference?
No.
It's from I Love You, Man.
Oh, great movie, though.
Great movie.
All right. But
yeah. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.